is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello. This week, Pastor Mars will continue his series, Hidden Messages in the New Catholic Catechism.
But in a process of deterioration. And human beings are not born good or perfect, as the Catholic Church says they are. And this has led the Catholic Church and its catechism to sponsor the lies that are being promoted by the environmentalists. For example, on page 88, we read in the catechism, quote, "By the very nature of creation, material being is endowed with its own stability, truth, and excellence, its own order and laws." My friends, this world certainly is marvelous in that it's a creation of God, but it is not perfect. It is not truth. And certainly there is not much stability. It is decaying. And that's why in the Bible, Peter tells us that someday there will be a new heaven and new earths. Even, my friends, a new Jerusalem. Keep that in mind. It says here on page 88, each of the various creatures reflect in its own way a ray of God's infinite wisdom and goodness. Man must therefore respect the particular goodness of every creature to avoid any disordered use of things which would be in contempt of the Creator and would bring disastrous consequences for human being and their environment. So you see, we are not to do those things which may harm the environment. Now, you know and I know that it certainly is pretty stupid for us to harm the environment. And God did put us in the garden to tend it in the first place, to be good stewards and to keep it. But that is far different than to believe that man and the earth have any kind of element or perfection, or that it is a sin to harm the environment. No, I simply, you know, can't believe that, because that's not biblical. Now, let's talk about yet another area, and that is of scriptures. And I think here's the real key that we need to look at. And this is the real error that causes all of the other errors to come up here in the catechism. And I think here is a hidden message, and yet it's very, I mean, it's out in the open what is really believed by the Catholic Church. On page 31, we read in the catechism this fact, and I believe this is true. It says God is the author of sacred scripture. Well, it says also that God inspired the human authors of the sacred books. It states the inspired books teach the truth. Now, all of those, I believe, are accurate. But wait, we're not finished. Item 108 on page 31 says this. Still, okay, now that's the words that the Catholic Catechism uses. After saying the Bible is inspired by God and so forth and teaches the truth, suddenly it says, quote, still, now we know we're going to have some reservations here, friends. Still, says the catechism, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. Did you get that? Friends, those of you who, like me, believe only in the Bible, did you get that? Here we see for the last days a hidden message. Don't believe the Bible. Christianity, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. Oh my. It says Christianity is not a written and mute word, but incarnate and living. Well, friends, I know that Jesus Christ lives, but wait. We can believe everything the Bible says. And not, though, what man says, but listen to what the Catholic Church says in its catechism. It says, quote, if the scriptures are not to remain a dead letter, Christ, the eternal word of the living God, must, through the Holy Spirit, open our minds to understand the Scriptures. Well, okay, that may be true. How do we open our minds? Well, you will find on pages 32, 33, and 34, you open your minds by listening to what the priest and the Catholic Church tell you. Ah. Because item 113 of page 32 says that you must, quote, read the Scripture within the living tradition of the whole Church. It says sacred Scripture is written principally in the Church's heart rather than in documents and records. For the Church carries in her tradition. Now, what does this mean? It simply means that you can't believe the Bible as it's written. Because the Bible really is tradition. It's not just found in a document or pages, a paper. Oh, no. The Bible really is the whole Catholic Church and all of its traditions. Man-made traditions, my friends. It says the Holy Spirit gives her, the Catholic Church, the spiritual interpretation of the Scripture. In other words, you can't just read it for yourself, because the Catholic Church has been given by the Holy Spirit this miraculous power to interpret the Scripture. This even though, my friends, the Bible says clearly, Peter says, that the Bible came not through men. It's not of any private interpretation, but from God. It says that you must understand the Bible, now I'm reading from page 33 of the Catechism, according to the spiritual meaning which the Spirit grants to the Church. Now, friends, in other words, you read the Bible, and it says one thing, but you go to the Church, and they say, well, you don't have the right spiritual meaning, because the Holy Spirit has granted only to the Church. And who is the Church? Oh, well, it's priests, it's bishops. But who are they subservient to? That's right, the Pope, the Holy Father, His Holiness, the Pope of Rome. So only He is infallible. Only He who has the keys to understanding the sacred Scriptures. That's the lie of the Catholic Church. And yet the Bible says no man needs to teach you, but the Holy Spirit will instruct you in all things. That's what the Scriptures tell you. And that's far different than what this catechism tells you. The hidden message here of the Catholic Church and its catechism is, don't believe the Bible, believe the Pope and the hierarchy. Now, some other elements that I want to talk to you about. You will find on pages 557 and 577 and 578 that basically the Catholic Church teaches that it is a sin for people who have the economic means not to redistribute that to the poor. This is a socialist concept. Of course, Jesus Christ Himself did tell us to help the poor, to help the widows, the orphans, even those who are in prison. But redistribution of wealth? No, I think the catechism goes way beyond what the Bible calls for. Then there is another area that I think is very, very strange. It has to do with homosexuality. It is politically correct, of course, today to say that homosexuals just can't help it. They're born that way. They have a genetic predisposition to this. They shouldn't be blamed. What does the Catholic Church say about it? Let me tell you what it says. Item 2358. It says, quote, the number of men and women who have deep-seated homosexual tendencies is not negligible. They do not choose their homosexual condition. Let me read that again. The Catholic Catechism says, they, that is the homosexuals, do not choose their homosexual condition. Oh my. Now we get into this old nonsense that they just can't help it. They were born that way. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. Now, all of the lesbian nuns and the pedophile priest, and there are many, believe me, are probably dancing in the gay bars today after having heard this kind of nonsense and drivel from the catechism. You know, Reverend Andrew Greeley, a Catholic sociologist, a Catholic priest himself, and I'm reading now from the Washington Post, Tuesday, November 1st, 1993, page A3, says this. He says there may be 2,000 to 4,000 pedophiles among the 51,000 priests in the United States, with as many as 100,000 victims of these pedophiles. Wow. Well, we know all about Priest Porter and all of the others who have been abusing these young kids, male and female, mostly male. I can also show you much, much evidence of lesbianism that is rampant among nuns, and they are proud of it today and are claiming that it is not a sin. Even Pat Robertson has fallen for this nonsense. For example, in the newspaper The Virginian Pilot and the Ledger Star, October 4th, 1994, Roman Catholic Bishop Walter Sullivan was invited to speak at Regent University. That's the 700 Club and the Christian Broadcasting Network of Pat Robertson. That's their university, Regent University, supported by money from people who watch the 700 Club. Well, recently he, according to the newspaper that I just quoted you, this Roman Catholic bishop was invited to speak to the students at Regent University. That's an abomination itself, but listen to what he says. Quote, "I firmly believe that a person is homosexual from birth. God made that person that way. If that person is gay or lesbian from birth," said Priest Sullivan, "how can that person be at fault? There is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with homosexual orientation. What is wrong is genital sex." Well, hey, come on. Is there a distinction there? Now, some so-called evangelical Christians, such as Tony Campolo, say, well, that homosexuals can live together and fondle each other and love each other, and as long as they don't go all the way and do the sex act. That's pretty sick. Now, I don't know that Campolo used the word fondle, but he says they can cuddle, I think is the exact term that he used. Live together, as in marriage. Cuddle with each other. How different Jesus' sayings. He said in Matthew 5, verse 28, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." My friends, we can't look at a woman or a man and conceive lust without it already being adultery. So how can two homosexuals live together and supposedly cuddle each other or fondle each other without doing the act? They've already committed adultery. And it is not a born condition. You know, my friends, I'm sick and tired of alcoholics saying, "I can't help myself. I have an alcoholic gene." Child molesters say, "Well, I have a hormonal problem." Mass murderers say, "Well, it's all psychological. I wasn't raised right. It's not my fault. I can't help it if I have uncontrollable sexual urges. I'm not guilty." Excuse, excuse, justification, justification. My friends, the Bible says that God gives us a way out of sin. No man is tempted beyond what they can bear. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "Pray, deliver us not into temptation, or lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, if we can't be delivered from evil, if we can't be kept from temptation, then why did Jesus tell us to pray that away? Now, I'm not saying we can be perfect, but to say that they can't help it, well, they can help it. So this catechism is saying homosexuals can't help it. Now, the catechism does not say that homosexuality, the act of doing it sexually in bed, is okay. It hem-haws around and says, well, you're not supposed to do it. That's wrong, but on the other hand, being a homosexual is okay as long as you don't carry out the act. And of course, then what is the act? Now, one of the things that's fatally missing from this catechism is the fact that homosexuality is a sin. No, there's no mention in here that homosexuality is a sin. And I want to say something about these supposed scientific studies that have found that the brains of homosexual and heterosexual men are different. Did you know that back in 91 and 92... a professor, Roger Gorski, professor of anatomy and cell biology at the Medical School of the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, said that he studied dead bodies, I think 10, and 9 out of the 10 homosexual dead bodies, or the bodies of dead people that he studied, turned out to have brains, or size differences in the brain. In a certain area of the brain. In other words, if you're a homosexual, your brain is a little bit different, the brain structure. A part of the brain he called the anterior commissure, he said is 34% larger in homosexual males. In other words, what they're claiming here then, according to Dr. Gorski, is that homosexuals can't have it because they're just born different physically. Well, let me give you, so this is where a lot of this junk is coming from, Dr. Gorski's study at UCLA. Now, let me reveal something to you. First of all, they studied the bodies of men who had been afflicted with AIDS and died of AIDS. So these 10 men had died of AIDS. 9 of them had brains that had this part a little bit different in size than heterosexuals. Well, could it not have been the case, my friends? I'm a scientific man. Could it not have been the case that it was AIDS who deformed that part of the brain? The AIDS virus? The sickness? The illness? The disease? Sure it could have been. This guy, what kind of a scientific study? This is nonsense. Again, this is drivel. Idiocy. To study the bodies of homosexual men who have died of AIDS and then say, wow, their brains are different. Yeah, there's a lot of things going to be different about their bodies because they've been ravaged by AIDS virus. And by the way, it has now come out, although it was not at the time, the media didn't report this. I saw this Dr. Gorski celebrated on television. You know, 60 Minutes, 2020, and all of them said, oh, this famous biologist and professor at UCLA has found this difference in the brains of homosexuals and heterosexuals. They forgot to tell us that Dr. Gorski himself is a homosexual. He was looking for differences. And he interpreted those differences in a way that would be favorable to the homosexual community. So it was just set up to help the gays. That's all it really is. And you're going to find other people who will say these kinds of things. Well, alcoholics have a gene. Genetically, they can't help it. Adulterers, child molesters, murderers. It's not true, my friends. We have to accept responsibility. Yes, it seems that Satan is able. There are certain weaknesses. One person may be susceptible to homosexual urges. Others to adultery. Another person may be gravitate to heavy metal sinful music. Others in other relationships. Maybe anger. Maybe some people have a problem in controlling their temper. Maybe some are cruel to their mate. I mean, there are many weaknesses of human nature. But again, I want to assure you, this is simply proof positive that we're not God, but that God always gives us a way out of sin. And that's what I wanted to tell you about. Now, one of the things I found interesting in this catechism is this strange wording when it talks about a political one-world system. You'll find that on page 585 of the Catechism. And I'm convinced what we really have here is a call for a new world order under the leadership of the Pope. But the wording is very, very, let's just say, obscure. It says on page 585, item 2438, concerning, quote, justice and solidarity among nations. That's what the Pope says. We need solidarity. In other words, unity among nations. It says here, quote, on the international level, inequality of resources and economic capability is such that it creates a real gap between nations. Various causes of a religious, political, economic, and financial nature today give the social question a worldwide dimension. And then it says, quote, there must be solidarity among nations which are already politically independent. Interdependent. It is a question of dismantling the perverse mechanisms that impede the development of the less advanced countries. They've got to dismantle the perverse mechanisms. What does that mean? Oh, is it democracy? Is it nationalism? I think so. There must be substituted, it says, a common effort to mobilize resources toward objectives of moral, cultural, and economic development, redefining the priorities and hierarchies of values. In other words, my friends, when we're talking about religion, politics, economic things, and financial matters, there has to be a solidarity, all nations coming together as one, so that there will be a common effort to mobilize all of the resources of the world. Solidarity. Political interdependence. Well, that's the same thing the United Nations is calling for. The Illuminati, the Secret Brotherhood, Freemasonry. And this is what the Catechism calls for. Now, I want you to know that This is what the Pope also stresses in his book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope. And I think we're at a stage, my friends, when there's no doubt at all that everything is coming together as one. Let me go very quickly on this crossing the threshold of hope and just give you the flavor of what the Pope is saying here. First of all, he says, beginning on page 3, and I'm going to go very fast because of the limited time we have, that there is nothing wrong with calling the Pope the Holy Father or His Holiness or the Vicar of Christ. That's what they say. In fact, let me read to you. Quote, "Have no fear when people call me the Vicar of Christ." Now, this is the Pope's own words in the book Crossing the Threshold of Hope. "Have no fear," says the Pope, "when people call me the Vicar of Christ, when they say to me, Holy Father or Your Holiness, or use titles similar to these, which seem even inimical," that means opposite, "the gospel. Christ Himself declared, quote, 'Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Messiah.' These expressions," says the Pope, "nevertheless have evolved out of a long tradition becoming part of common usage. One must not be afraid of these words either." Now, you say, well, Tex Mars, what is he saying there? Let me read on page 6 of the book. He says, "Christ exhorts us to have no fear. He has both God and man in mind. He means, do not be afraid of God. Do not be afraid of God, but invoke Him with me. Do not be afraid to say, Father." Wow. "Do not be afraid of God who becomes a man." Wow. Do you see what he's saying here, my friends? That He becomes God on earth in place of Christ. And so he says, he admits, the Pope admits that yes, it may seem opposite the gospel, but it's not, he says. Yes, he admits, Christ did declare, "Call no one on earth your father." But he says, it's okay to call me alone your father, your holy father, because I'm God on earth. He says, that's right, I'm your master on earth. I represent God. In other words, he's basically claiming that he is one with God. And that's why on page 9, he says expressions such as Supreme Pontiff, Your Holiness, and Holy Father simply mean that he's the authentic witness of Christ. He holds the keys of life and death as the Pope. And you've got to choose to believe this or not, he says. You see, this really is what the Pope means when he says, be not afraid. Now, when he was inaugurated, or you might say crowned, Pope, back in 81, he used that phrase, the Pope did, Pope John Paul II, be not afraid. Now, on the back, the very cover of this book, written by the Pope, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, this Pope, on the back cover, there are only 3 words, and those are in the handwriting of the Pope himself. Be not afraid, and it ends with an exclamation mark to give it emphasis. Be not afraid. Be not afraid to call me the Vicar of Christ, says the Pope. Be not afraid to call me your Holy Father, God on earth. Be not afraid. Well, my friends, I am afraid. Because Jesus has called no man father, and the Pope is simply a man. An unredeemed man. Why do I say that? Because he worships Mary. Because he believes that prayer to the saints is acceptable. And you can read about that on page 645. Prayer to the saints in this catechism. Mary is called the Mother of God. On pages 642 and 643 and 644. But more than that, it is Mary who represents God for us. It is Mary who gives us her saving grace. She is the mediator. It is Mary who is the cause of our salvation, says the Pope. Now, I'll tell you what I believe, friends. I believe that the idols of Mary as found in the Catholic churches around this globe are the images to the beast. You can read about that in Revelation 13, the images to the beast. I think it's significant that in the Catholic magazine 30 Days, number 12, 1993, page 45, one of the top Catholic cardinals notes that in one of the Catholic Church's saints' diaries, he's called Father Malachy. He was the bishop, a bishop who died in 1148. He had certain prophecies. He said Pope John Paul II will be followed by a pope bearing the mark. The mark. How very interesting. The mark. Will it be the mark of the beast? Well, my friends, recently I received a letter from a Christian man who used to be Catholic. He said, Tex, keep in mind that in the Catholic churches you will not hear saying that great old hymn, that old rugged cross. No, there is Jesus on the crucifix. But he said, my Jesus is not on the crucifix anymore. He is alive forevermore. He says, I no longer worship Mary or pray to the saints, but only to that one living God. And my friends, there are hidden messages in the catechism. A call for a new world order, the redistribution of wealth, and for the worship of Mary and the adoration of the Pope. But Jesus cried out, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The real question is not whether you believe in the Catholic Church or the Pope or Mary, but do you believe those saving words of Jesus Christ?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.